found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're going to be talking about mental health and matters. So, Dr. Cuddy, thank you so very much for being with us again here on the American Freedom Network.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've got your latest posting up there at News with Views, and incidentally for our leaders, our listeners out there, you should go to newswithviews.com on a regular basis and read the excellent articles that are posted there. Of course, Dr. Cuddy is a frequent poster. I'm an occasional poster. But Dr. Cuddy has something up there almost every other week, and you'll certainly want to read his series there on mental health. And we actually carry several of his books. We used to have one book on mental health screening, and then we have another a pamphlet on mental health screening, and maybe one of these days this will be put into a great syllabus. But right now, I'm going to let Dr. Cuddy tell us about his concerns about what's really going on as they work to control our minds and control our reality. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they really do. We live in a Truman Show where almost everything we think is true is not. And every storefront is just that. It's a storefront. And behind it, of course, you begin to realize it's a television prop. So pick up the story there, Dr. Cuddy.
Well, if I might delay that just a bit, there were some important news items that I was listening to just as we were waiting to come on the network you're on, and I want to at least touch on some of them because they're sort of relevant. One of the news items was about this incident in Kabul, Afghanistan, capital, where the Marine who's in charge of it investigating said, well, there was fire coming from the crowd. Now, on the back of the Haditha in Iraq experience, and on the back of the Marine commander of all the Marines saying you need to be sensitive about civilian casualties, this is one of the typical guerrilla warfare tactics. You have any gathering of people for whatever reason. In this case, it's in Kabul. You have an opponent will deliberately get into the crowd and start firing. And the response, evidently, of some of these Marines was, well, the fire is coming from the crowd, so let's just shoot. Now, one report says they were firing over the heads, but we do know that some people were killed. So there's something more than just firing over heads. The point is, if you're going to get into essentially a guerrilla warfare, which is what we've been in Afghanistan and in Iraq, you have to know going in and provide extensive training going in tactics to use against typical guerrilla warfare tactics, which obviously this is. Secondly, in the Haditha Iraq situation, your listeners need to remember that these 24 civilians, including women and children, and there's some videotape of some of this, this happened in November. No, not in the last month or two, back in November. And it wasn't until about January or February, 3-4 months later, when a news story came out that the Marines started investigating this thing. And these investigations, just like Abu Ghraib, every time the Iraqis would ask, well, these things take time, there's due process, so forth and so on, which raises the question, like I said last time, why is Saddam Hussein on trial? Now, I want to hasten to add that Saddam's an evil person and deserves about anything that happens to him. But when you're trying to win the hearts and minds of the Afghan people and the Iraqi people, what you don't want to have happen is sort of a double standard. And a lot of this maneuvering and the long-term investigations and these trials of people during wartime in Iraq, but applying different standards when Americans are involved in war, smacks to these people of a double standard. Not that they love Saddam. They don't love Saddam. But they are cognizant of what appears to be a sort of different process that that goes on. And so, having said that, Dr. Stan, since you mentioned the News with Views website, as you said, at least every couple of weeks, sometimes every week, I have a column on there, and I want to pick up on something which may not have been widely publicized, but what your listeners really need to know about. And Jim Khoury, K-O-U-R-I, had an interesting column just a couple of days ago on News with Views also. And the title is Bush's New Iraqi Government Betrays America. Now, Jim Khoury has been with the police a long time. He's a very patriotic person. So he's not speaking here as some leftist who wants to destroy America's national sovereignty. But what he points out is worth mentioning here in this sense. There was recently a meeting between the leaders of this new Iraqi government, which we have more or less coalesced. I mean, they've, you know, voted and chosen, but we've pressured them in this particular direction. And what the Iraqi government told to its Iranian foreign minister who was visiting them was that the Iraq will not be used to threaten Iran. In other words, they said, and this is the Iraqi foreign minister, his name is Hoshyar Zebari, he said this new Iraqi government, quote, is a friendly government to Iran, end quote. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, the Iranians, of course, perceive us as threatening an invasion because they're developing nuclear power and we say eventually nuclear weapons, which they may be. But what you have here is a situation where, as I said before this war began, this is not a separation of church and state sort of country over there. They believe in Islamic law should be the law under which they operate, rather than sort of a secular law under which Saddam had. And so what you have there is a union of what's called the United Iraqi Alliance. It's basically several groups, predominantly Shiites, who take control of the government. And what Khoury says, and I'll just read this briefly because it's rather important. He says, quote, the Bush administration worries about Iraq's sovereignty but cares little about the continual compromise of U.S. sovereignty. If the Iraqi government desires close ties with a country that openly admits it wishes to annihilate the Jewish people in Israel while harboring and supporting terrorists who would cause harm to innocent American civilians, let them do it without our brave sons and daughters protecting them. Iraq and Iran fought a brutal, devastating war in the 1980s, but relations have warmed. The alliance, that's the United Iraqi Alliance, has a number of religious parties whose leaders sought exile in Iran because of their fear of retaliation by Saddam Hussein. And I'll finish it when we get back.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Dennis Cutty.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join us as we celebrate the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Shavuot. We've been counting the Omer, and the day comes down to June the 4th, 10:30 a.m., North Shore Lake Loveland at the Amphitheater. Join us as we welcome special guest speaker Eddie Chumney and Obadiah Frank. It'll be a day of feasting, music, dance, and joy. Call 303-654-9924 or 1-800-205-6245 for more information.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Here at the American Freedom Network, and Dr. Cuddy, before we went to the break, was talking about the relationships between Iraq and Iran, and people have to understand that, you know, under Saddam Hussein, they had a secular society. You had three groups, the Shia, the Sunni, and the Kurds. Well, the Shia Muslims are the vast majority, and now they really dominate the new government, and of course, the Iranians are Shia Muslims, so there's a camaraderie between those two groups. The Shias in Saddam Hussein's Iraq never hated the Shias over in Iran. And really what we have done is to actually increase the power of the radical Shia Muslim movement in that region by toppling Saddam. Now the Shias in Iraq can form alliance with the Shias in Iran. And instead of defusing the situation, we've only aggravated it. But that's exactly what we intended to do. You have to understand that as far as Afghanistan was concerned, the Afghan government offered to send Osama bin Laden out of the country. They didn't want to go to war with America, but we wanted to go to war with them. The Afghan government offered to send Osama bin Laden to another country where he could be tried, if there was any evidence against him, that he was involved in the 9/11 attack. We weren't interested in getting Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. I mean, instead of, you know, agreeing that if they sent Osama bin Laden out of the country, why we would intercept him and try him for his crimes, why we demanded they give us every member of Al-Qaeda in the country, every leader, but we never named the leaders, and then we immediately attacked. Why? Because we wanted to go to war with Afghanistan, and then we wanted to go to war with Iraq, just as we want to go to war with Iran. And where was the outcry from the American people? We have people in Washington, D.C., who specifically are using terrorism and the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom here. When will the American people wake up to the fact that many times we create the best enemies money could buy? And as I sat during the break, I was just simply reading that the French have recently announced that they have evidence, hard evidence, that one of the training camps in Pakistan, terrorist training camps, was run by the CIA at least until 1995. CIA and MI6 running one of the terrorist training camps that they turned over to Osama in 1995. Why would we turn a terrorist training camp over to Osama bin Laden in 1995? Anybody would like the documentation? I'll be glad to send it to him. Give us a call and we'll get you the information. But please pick up the story, Dr. Cuddy, because the situation goes from bad to worse, and of course we're creating a situation over there with rising hatred for America, especially with this recent story about the Marines killing innocent women and children. These things happen in any war. War is hell. We should not be there. We should not be putting our boys into a situation where they lash out in anger and kill innocent human beings. But unfortunately, this is what war is all about. It's about killing people and destroying things. There is never a good war, and there's never been a bad peace.
Again, if you're trying to win the hearts and minds of people somewhere, in this case Iraq or Afghanistan, you have to look at it from their perspective. I'm not saying you have to agree or do whatever they want, but you at least have to see it through their eyes so that you can better win the hearts and minds of the people. And when you have what's perceived as a double standard, it subverts what one's trying to do. For example, you just mentioned about we demanded from the Taliban all of the al-Qaeda leaders in Afghanistan. Well, first off, you know, how do you list them, and how do we know they've listed all of them? It was a deliberately impossible demand. But the point is, if you're going to do that, then why have we not demanded the Pakistanis turn over General Mahmoud Ahmad, head of Pakistani intelligence, who had the $100,000 wired to Mohammed Atta? And if you were to ask Bush this, which the press, our wonderful investigative press, never does, but if you were to be able to ask that, they'd say, well, we want to work closely with Pakistan in the war against terror. Well, that smacks of a double standard. It's just like when we supported and provided Saddam Hussein with the material to make gas that he used against the Iranians, who are using gas against him and his people. When during this war, and it was a war between Iran and Iraq, and we were supporting Saddam and the Iraqis, and he did this, and we knew he had done this, to later come along and say, well, Saddam, you know, you committed some atrocities back there during the Iran-Iraq war. You have to wonder why the Sunnis, I mean, you don't wonder why the Sunnis are scratching their head. Now, let's see. You people provided us, the Sunnis, Saddam, with the gas. He used them because they were using gas against us. A lot of people, including Kurds caught in the middle or who were siding with the Iranians, get killed. There was an assassination attempt against Saddam, and those people were executed, just like, you know, you executed the Rosenbergs, who didn't kill anybody in America. And now Saddam's on trial, even though you supported him after he did this, question mark? And so when we go through this sort of process, if you're trying to convince the people, wherever you are, Iraq, wherever, about a process that needs to be followed, you know, justice under the law, equality, and things like that, they see this as just, you know, some kind of sham going on. And so coming back to what I was saying before the break, Jim Corey, in this article where he's pointing out about, it's not just that there are Shiites who are majority in the government of Iraq, and there are Shiites in Iran, and they have a commonality of religious affiliation. What he stresses here, and it's a very good point, is that when Saddam was in power and his Ba'ath party was in power, a lot of, especially the leaders of the Shiite religious political movement, were oppressed. And so rather than to be oppressed or executed, they fled to Iran. So it's not just that they're Iranian Shiites and Iraqi Shiites, but the Iranians actually provided safe haven and protection for the people who we now have put in charge of the Iraqi government. And so it's no wonder that they want to be, as the quote was, is a, quote, a friendly government to Iran, this new Iraqi leadership that we have installed. And so what Jim Corey says is, by allowing U.S. troops to remain in Iraq while its government plays footsies with Iran is a travesty. There's nothing less honorable than being played for a sucker on the world stage, end quote. And so that point needs to be weighed when we decide to do these operations, or if the American public continues to support an operation like this. And one final point of that, remember that the Shiites are not a majority in the Baghdad area. Baghdad is largely in a Sunni area, and the Shiites' major city is Basra in the eastern part of Iraq. And don't forget that many, many years ago, H.G. Wells, who wrote that book, The New World Order, said when this world government comes into being, it will come out of this conference held in Basra, Iraq, this world government that will come. And now, he could have said, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 cities anywhere in the world, but he said specifically Basra, Iraq. Might he have known something? We don't know.
Well, he was certainly in touch with the people, the movers and shakers of the world at that time. Having, you know, sat in on the secret conferences between the Fabian socialists and the financial leaders, the bankers of England, back in a group called the Coefficients, between about 1901 and 1909. And anybody would like to verify that, it's a book written by H.G. Wells called An Experiment in Autobiography, as the socialists and the bankers decided how they would come ultimately to rule the world.
That's right, and that leads us all the time back to Cecil Rhodes, and
right.
I mean, among others. See, they work with the Fabians and Skull and Bones, but you'll constantly see some Rhodes scholar pop up, whatever it is. You know, writing the Gaither Report for the Ford Foundation was Dyke Brown, Rhodes scholar.
Bill Clinton, don't ever forget old Bill.
Yeah, Bill Clinton with Strobe Talbot, to more recently. But any little, you know, effort, like even when you go into holistic health, well, surely, you know, Cecil Rhodes couldn't have gotten into that. No, actually, one of his people, Jan Christian Smuts, was the one who first came up about 100 years ago with the ideal of holism, W-H-O-L-I-S-M, involved in health, education. So if you're looking at some issue today, whether it's education, health, politics, economics, journalism, there's probably some Rhodes scholar somewhere who laid out this plan. Percy Corbett was one of Rhodes' Secret Society's Association of Helpers, laying out this regional formation. We'll have this regional economic arrangements and then link them up into a global economic arrangement and say they have to be managed by a world government. And he goes on and describes how immigration would be part of this. You know, all sorts of things. There's probably some Rhodes person involved in this. And so now picking up on the latest mental health, education, and social control that I did, it's part 31, and I tried to get into all three aspects of it to show how this thing is progressing, because that's what it is. It's a progressional thing, you know, step by step. Sort of like Richard Gardner saying, you know, an end run around national sovereignty, and it'll be step by step and so on. In health, the latest thing comes from an AP article out of New Jersey indicating that doctors there in the state of New Jersey, maybe wherever you are listening in, are required now under the law to educate expectant mothers and their families about postpartum depression. All right, that's a mental health screening. And screen new mothers for this disorder under a new law signed just April 13th by the governor, Corzine. Now, remember, it's not just mental health, although that's the focus of what I'm writing on, but any health screening. And in that regard, a few months ago, the Washington Post had a column, and that what that was doing was seeing how New York City had started to monitor the blood sugar levels of diabetic residents. And the article in the Post by Rob Stein, January 11th, says that this marks the first time any government in the U.S. has begun tracking people with a chronic disease. Now, what's wrong with that? It gives a couple of examples in this Post column. Lawrence Gostin, who directs the Center for Law and Public Health at Georgetown and Johns Hopkins, said, quote, "You can imagine it getting to the point where you have a public health worker showing up at your door and asking, did you remember to exercise, eat right, and take your medication today, question mark? And then a Wendy Mariner of Boston University Schools of Public Health and Law said, quote, "Government concern often shifts to government coercion. Today we're telling people what you should do voluntarily. Tomorrow it may be we're telling you what to do or you'll be penalized," end quote. And that's what I've stressed in most of the radio shows I've done, that oftentimes the government, the power elite, rather than just come down to your door one day and bang it in and haul you off to some concentration camp, they use these coercive measures, you know, certain regulations, like you it's voluntary, but, you know, if you don't do this, your insurance premiums go up, or, you know, or you can't get a job, or whatever. And so you, quote, voluntarily do what they want you to do, which is really a form of coercion. Now, the second topic is education, and in the last series that I did, in Part 30, I referred to something called the International Baccalaureate, the IB program. And, you know, most people say, oh, yeah, some magnet school that emphasizes international relations. No, no, that's different. This is part of the power elite's efforts for many, many years to internationalize education. I mentioned in the past an organization called ACHIEVE. This was headed up by some leading governors as well as leading people in the corporate world, IBM's Lou Gerstner and others, where they literally said, we're going to set these educational standards, and there'll be international standards. And if you in the state of California or Pennsylvania or Oklahoma don't do what we say, then we won't locate or we won't expand any factories in your state. And so once again, this is sort of an economic coercion. There's an attempt here to internationalize education. And once you do that, of course, there's an international authority, the United Nations or the World Confederation that I'll mention in just a second. And so 2 years after the, as I call him, supposedly conservative President Dwight Eisenhower, he really wasn't. I mean, he wanted, you know, us under a U.N. flag back in the 50s.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Of Griffin Automotive, one of the proud sponsors of Rabbi Spivak's program. We are family-owned and operated, your new car alternative, specializing in one-owner, low-mileage Hondas, Toyotas, and Subarus, meticulously maintained, priced from $2,000 to $10,000. See us at Foothills in Pearl and Boulder, or call us at 303-447-9991. 303-447-9991.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
Today, the role of glutathione is not well understood, but with studies proving that low levels of glutathione are seen in over 200 medical conditions and high levels are seen in people with excellent health, public awareness of the importance of glutathione is increasing. To discuss the positive possibilities of raising your glutathione through the use of a medically proven nutraceutical called Immunical, call Candace at 303-520-0857. That's 303-520-0857.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We do carry his book, Cover Up. We carry his timeline for the New World Order, education timeline for New World Order. We carry his book, A Road to Socialism, which is basically the story of the Fabian Socialist Movement. And hopefully before long, I will have some of his other books back in print. But Dr. Cuddy is a prolific writer. He's testified before Congress, he's worked in the Department of Education during the Reagan years, taught at the university level, and certainly is the finest researcher we have out there. And you can get his articles up at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And they're all listed there. They're all archived, and you can pull them down. But we're talking about mental health screening, part 31. So please pick up the story there, Dr. Cuddy.
Okay, we were at the second topic in my series on mental health education and social control, which involves education. And where we were was the supposedly conservative President Dwight Eisenhower. Actually, with the exception of age, that time, for your listeners who weren't around then, was very much like the current time with President Bush. President Bush really, he is making the decisions as the president, but he is heavily dependent on others, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, and others basically provide him with information or don't provide him with information, and he makes a final decision. But it's sort of a, he's acts like a chairman of the board, I guess you would say. He doesn't really have the knowledge and background and frankly, intelligence to make a lot of decisions based upon his own independent judgment or information. And so back at that time, it was very much the same. Dwight Eisenhower had been a military general. He was originally approached by the Democrats to run. He chose to run as a Republican, and so everybody says, well, you know, Republicans are conservatives, so this is a conservative person, but he really wasn't. Also, he had a lot of health problems, especially during his second 4 years. Now, the current President Bush doesn't have that, but the point I'm making is during the last 4 years, the administration of Dwight Eisenhower was practically run, especially in foreign affairs, by John Foster Dulles and others. Whenever Dwight Eisenhower did have a certain amount of health, he would go out to a golf course. It's sort of like President Bush going back to Texas and chopping wood or whatever. So it was really a lot of the decisions were run then by other people. However, the person himself, Dwight Eisenhower, was not all that that conservative. Just 2 years after he left office in 60, in July 31 of 62. Now remember, this is a person who's getting up in years. He's had health problems, but he felt it important enough to go over to Stockholm, Sweden. And in Stockholm, Sweden, he's addressing the World Confederation of Organizations of the Teaching Profession. And this is what he says, quote, "I should like to suggest one final thought. It is the possibility of creating an international school as a new and different kind of clearinghouse for world thinking and teaching and learning in the vast field of human relations. On the campus of such a college would be gathered an international faculty of scholars whose concern would be objective truth purged of national and regional bias, hatred, and prejudices," end quote. Now, appreciate that. He wants to purge this of national bias. In other words, not an American bias. And this is what he advocated. And so this effort to internationalize education, or to put an international control or perspective over things, whether it's in education or politics, has been going on a long time. Today, a couple of examples are the University of Illinois. The University of Illinois is actually planning to decrease the total number of its freshman class, but at the same time it's decreasing the number of freshman class, is increasing the percentage of foreign students to 25% of its student body. Now think about that. One-fourth of the entire student body of the University of Illinois will be foreign students. Not Illinois students, not students from other states, other Americans, but foreign students. Secondly, if any of you listeners see the Phyllis Schlafly report, if you don't, the April issue has a quote that's instructive by University of Texas at Arlington professor. His name's Jose Gutierrez. Now, remember, this is down in Texas, near the border, immigrants coming across. He said, quote, "We have to eliminate the gringo," that's whites. "And what I mean by that is, if the worst comes to worst, we have to kill them," end quote. Now, this is an attitude by a person at the University of Texas at Arlington.
A tenured professor.
Right, a professor down there, and that's his attitude. Now, a lot of individuals remember that Dwight Eisenhower had a brother named Milton Eisenhower. And if you look back at my books, such as The Globalist, I will include quotes by Milton Eisenhower regarding the United Nations and how we need, and this is back, you know, in the 40s, where he's saying we need less national sovereignty and more UN control. So it's not just Dwight Eisenhower, it's his brother as well, Milton Eisenhower. And education has often been used to alter students' values. It's not just enough to say, you know, we need this sort of international getting together of people of various countries. But there's a process here that's going on to alter students, in this case, Americans' values. And it's been going on for many years, just like I said, even before the 40s. You had a book called Molders of the American Mind, written back in 1933. And this is a professor, Norman Wohlfel, W-O-E-L-F-E-L. And this is his book, and he wrote, and this is 1933, quote, "The younger generation is on its own, and the last thing that would interest modern youth is the salvaging of the Christian tradition. The environmental controls which technologists have achieved and the operations by means of which workers earn their livelihood need no aid or sanction from God nor any blessing from the church." And this is in 1933, the same year as the Humanist Manifesto came out. And so this is an effort to change the values, a more humanistic attitude, not the Christian tradition, and all of the people should focus their attention on this, and we don't need any need of God or any blessing from the church. And
well, I think what you were saying just a moment or two ago about the university there and taking in 25% foreign students. This is a state-funded university.
Right.
What people must really understand is that there are people whose dedication is not to America and not to American sovereignty, but to this globalist view. That's why, of course, they would bring in the students from other countries, and they can probably come in here and take these key positions in our universities. Ordinarily, we have lots of qualified students who want to go to university, who can afford it, but they're going to bring in these students from other countries to train them. And then, of course, we're going to bring in workers. The new immigration law brings in lots of workers from other countries to take American jobs. Because this whole thing really is about the destruction of national sovereignty, grinding down the levels of wealth and prosperity of our people, impoverishing the American people, and the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations is laid out in the Satanic Earth Charter, which is the new Ten Commandments for the world. We'll be right back with Dr. Debbie Spencer.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
With so much concern over the world economy, rising interest rates and skyrocketing oil prices, and a more than 50-50 chance that the entire electronic infrastructure may collapse globally, how come not one so-called expert is advising Americans to buy gold? Could it be that they're not telling us everything? Gold and silver will retain value when everything else fails. Don't get caught when they can't find your IRA or 401k. Call the Patriot Trading Group. We don't offer free reports or newsletters. We don't take your phone number, and we don't play games. Just the finest product at the fairest prices and the fastest delivery in the entire industry. Call 1-800-951-0592. We've helped thousands of good people on the Colorado Front Range get prepared, and we can help you too. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 for price quotes or information. And remember, I'm right behind you. That way when we turn around and run, I'll be in front.
We'll be right back.
Dan back here. Our guest this morning, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and the last segment of our program. Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay. Before I finish up with the last subject of social control, I would encourage your listeners, if they don't already have it, to jot down this number. It's a toll-free number, 888-322-1414. That's 888-322-1414. And that's Representative Ron Paul's free newsletter. Every week he updates it. And this week, once again, an important subject is the National Animal Identification System that all of your listeners need to think about, because even if you have one duck or one pig or one horse or one chicken, this applies to you, not to the big guys, not to Tyson's or whatever. They only have to have one animal identification for their whole lot that they keep in a particular pasture or pen or whatever. But if you're an individual with a horse, you have to do this. Now, they say it's going to be voluntary, but, of course, whenever the government does something, they will eventually make it mandatory. And in this sense, I mean, in this case, there's all the more reason to think they will, because if not enough people, quote, voluntarily get behind this, then they will say, well, what good is it? You know, I mean, the whole idea is, if something goes wrong, we may be able to track this horse or pig or whatever. And so, therefore, eventually they have to say, in the claim of efficiency, that everybody has to do it.
In other words, basically what they're going to do is inject a chip into all these, every animal, but they really want to inject a chip into every human being, but they're going to start out with animals, after all. I mean, who could really object? Why, we had one case of mad cow disease, and we couldn't track that cow. Therefore, we've got to chip every little chicken in the entire country. I mean, what rationale is that? Why, it's about as sane as most of the things going on today. But that is really not the thing. They really want to chip the people, but we've got to start with the animals. So go ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Right. It's always a gradualist process. And so picking up then with the final subject under my mental health education, social control, the ultimate goal of the paralegal, of course, is to achieve social control, whether it's through education or other means, with the end being a world government. Now, in order to control people, they want to know who is communicating with whom. They have to be able to track communication. And so there was a story in the first line of an AP, Associated Press story of May 11th, several weeks ago, titled Paper Reports NSA Collecting Phone Records. And the first statement was, the government, that's the National Security Agency, is secretly collecting records of ordinary Americans' phone calls in an effort to build a database of every call made within the country, end quote.
By that, every citizen, not just by the terrorists.
Right.
This has nothing to do with terrorism. That is the cover where they are going to be justify collecting dossiers on every American. They already have them. They've had them for years, and now they're simply expanding them. They want to know everything about you.
Right. Everybody you contact, not just terrorists, and we've spoken on the program before about how something like only 14% of a lot of these efforts have anything to do with counterterrorism. So we know there is a national tracking monitoring system. And in part 27 of my series, several parts ago, your listeners may remember that I quoted CFR President Richard Haass talking about we need to give away some of our sovereignty. Well, what you have to remember is he was director of policy planning staff at the State Department under the current President Bush. Now, this is, you know, not just the CFR president now, but at one point, a few years ago, he was head of policy planning, State Department. And at that time, a lot of people didn't notice, but he gave a speech to the Foreign Policy Association back in 2002 when he was with this Bush administration office called Defining U.S. Foreign Policy in a Post-Cold War World. And I'll try and whiz through this. Time is running out here. He said, quote, there clearly is a consistent body of ideas and policies that guides the Bush administration foreign policy. This coherence exists and can be captured by the idea of integration. Integration is about bringing nations together and then building frameworks of cooperation and, where feasible, institutions that reinforce and sustain them even more. Integration reflects not merely a hope for the future, but the emerging reality of the Bush administration, end quote. So in other words, once the nations of the world become, quote, integrated, quote, economically and other ways, then it won't be difficult at all for the paralegal to say or to argue that these integrated entities should be managed by a world government. So that's how they work. You know, they'll use a term like integration. It will integrate economically. This will benefit everybody. But once you get locked into these systems, you can't get out of it. And it goes not just for economics, it's political system, immigration systems, a borderless world. They will, you know, wipe out laws. You'll have the World Trade Organization literally telling Congress what laws they can and cannot have. There's these unelected bureaucrats over in Europe are already doing that. And so what would the American people say? You know, oh, my goodness, we don't like such and such. Well, the paralegal can come back and say, hey, you people have already subjected yourselves to these unelected bureaucrats over in Europe. What are you complaining about? You've gone along with this. You've gone along with this for years.
And we are a nation of laws. How could we object to these new international laws that take away our sovereignty and take away our freedom? And soon we will have the same freedom that exists in communist China. After all, they're part of the United Nations. Why should we have more freedom than they do? Don't you believe in equality? Don't you believe in law? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble, and the American people don't understand. There is a plan when the world will be as one to destroy American sovereignty, and we have traitors in Washington, D.C. today doing everything they can to destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. People who have sworn to uphold our Constitution are intent upon destroying it, our sovereignty, our freedom, and perhaps even taking our lives. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. You know, and I think it's so vitally important that people go to newswithviews.com, pull down your articles, of course, get your books from us here. And do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, none of this can happen without the acquiescence of the people. And the people need to pray to God, but then take actions. Don't just sit around. There was a poll, the Washington Post said two-thirds of the public would be willing to give over some of our freedom for peace and safety and security. Well, remember, it's very peaceful in China. There's no freedom, but it's very peaceful there. So if that's what you want, then just continue to sit around and let it happen. But I hope you won't.
God bless. Thanks so much, Dr. Cuddy. And we'll be back in a moment to wrap up the morning program here.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Dr. your stand back here in the American Freedom Network. One of the things Dr. Cuddy mentioned this morning was that John Smuts, who was certainly a leader of this whole internationalist movement, but everybody was forgotten that when Jan Smuts was a very young man, he was the number two man in the Afrikaner government that the British fought a long and bloody war with, 3-year war. The British lost 100,000 men killed and wounded during the war. And, of course, the number two man in the government they were fighting was Jan Smuts, who always worked for the British government. That was the incredible thing. He was there fomenting the war, why they wanted that war, and he was always their man, and they had their man really planted in the British government. And then he spent, pardon me, in the Afrikaans government, he spent all of his life as part of Cecil Rhodes' movement, moving towards world government. We recently found that the number two man in the IRA, the wicked IRA that was killing British subjects and waging a war against Great Britain and planting bombs in London, number two man was a British agent. The chief torturer and murderer for the IRA, who was killing people who were suspected of being British agents, was himself a British agent. Is it possible that we're involved in a war on terrorism, that where we control the other side? If we're really involved in a war on terrorism and it's a threat to us, why is it that it won't allow racial profiling on people getting on planes? We can't profile people from the Middle East. Why have they never tried to seal our southern border if there's really a war on terrorism? And why haven't there been any attacks on America by these wicked terrorists in over 4 years? Or is everything simply an example of the Truman Show, where our reality is created by those people who control the media? You need to get our information. We have a great three pamphlet set on 911. It's called Foreknowledge 911. They knew it was coming. They did not try to stop it. They wanted an excuse to get us into the war with Afghanistan and Iran, Iraq, and eventually with Iran. You need to get our pamphlets. They're only $9.95 for all three of them. Foreknowledge 911. And then behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. You need to get our three pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy. Once again, all three pamphlets, $9.95. You need to get the information, and you need to help us get it out while we can still talk, because very soon, one day, the ability to communicate will be gone, and we will be living behind barbed wire. You need to get our material on concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they plan on establishing concentration camps and a dictatorship in America. You can either get the four tape set, or you can get our concentration camp special, and your job is to help us get the truth out while we can. I know people are fleeing America, trying to find a safe place. I feel I'm called to be here sounding an alarm, but you must listen and you must be involved, because believe me, when freedom fails, good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry appease to peace are often killed by those they hope to please. And if you think you can survive against the evil, and this is organized evil, behind everything there are secret societies that are founded in Luciferianism. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get the book or get the video or DVD that tells you this story. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember, the number two man in the Afrikaans government was a British agent. Remember, the people who led the IRA, British agents. Are we really involved in the terrorism, or are we involved in a war against the American people? So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In the self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof,